So today, we start the module called Entering the Land of Prosperity. It's not that we have not already entered, but I want to go through a process where we understand about entering and about cleansing and about living in the land, and then what comes after that. It also has to do with kingdoms. First, simply put, God wants the kingdom of God over this earth, and that is what he's going to have. And he's raising up an end-time army called the Glorious Church, filled, made up with, manifested sons of God. And in that process, although Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Father said to him, "Sit thou at my right hand till I make your enemy your footstool." So he said that, I believe, 5 times in the scriptures. So he's saying that while Jesus is seated, while the Father is seated, in other words, out of the battle, if you will, that he's going to make God's enemies, Jesus' enemies, Jesus' footstool. The only way that can happen is for the body of Christ to rise up and be the conquering body of Christ was meant to be. And that process starts with understanding that we are living in a kingdom of God. We're not trying to get money. We're not trying to get wealth. It already all belongs to us. Just as we're not trying to get healing. We are the healed of the Lord. Healing belongs to us. It's part of our birthright. We're trying to, we're in the process of kicking the devil out of our lives so that the healing manifests in our lives. In the same way that we have divine health belonging to us, we also have divine wealth belonging to us. For everything that God has, he gave to Jesus. And we are joint heirs with Jesus. And much of my Christian life, I have perceived myself trying to get into my life the blessings of wealth. Not understanding that the same attitude I have towards healing is the same attitude I need to have towards wealth. I am the wealthy of the Lord. I'm the prosperous of God. I am the heir of God. So are you. It all belongs to us. But just as we would not give a real Uzi to a 7-year-old kid, we might give him an imitation one, which perhaps is not the best thing either. But just as we would not give all the power to a young child until the child matures, just so the Bible says, all the riches that belong to the ear don't become ours until we mature and grow into it. And I think that's a very major reason for this graduate course. It's for us to grow into that maturity where we can handle the great wealth of God. So let's kind of delve down into that. God gave the earth and its glory to Adam. Adam, by sinning, gave up his kingship, just like King Edward gave up his kingship and abdicated. And he turned the responsibility over to Satan. Thereby, Satan became the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. So Satan became the god of this world, of the kingdoms of this world, and of its glory, which is exactly what he said to Jesus when he was tempting him. All this and all the glory of the earth has been delivered to me. All this and the glory of the earth has been delivered to me. Now Jesus turned down his offer, rejected the three temptations by quoting the word of God, just as we overcome temptations by quoting, speaking, affirming the word of God. He defeated Satan and he restored that glory to us by giving us the glory that God had given him. John 17, verse 22. That the glory is the Father gave to Jesus, Jesus has given to us. That glory belonged to us. Now, Jesus demonstrated that glory by turning water into wine. That's what it says in John 2:11. This, the beginning of miracles. Turning water into wine, that his glory would be shown. The glory in us, the anointing of God, the power of God. In the Greek, you look up the meaning of the Greek, and one of the meanings for glory is glory. That tells you they haven't quite got their hands around it. Right? God said to Moses, I can't show you my glory, but I let my goodness pass before you. So that's part of it. Glory is also translated as honor and praise. All that is his goodness. All that commands honor, worship, and praise, he's given to us. It's in us. We are the heirs of salvation. We are the jubilee restoration of what Adam lost. We're not waiting for jubilee to come. Jubilee is Jesus. He came. And whatever Adam had and lost has been restored to us. Because the last Adam is much more than the first Adam. It all belongs to us. We have to realize that. Now, as we walk in the kingdom of God, we expect nothing bad to happen to us. That nothing of the enemy can harm us. We expect to walk in health. And in the same way, as we walk in the kingdom of God, knowing that within the kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven. Within the kingdom of God is healing. Within the kingdom of God is that land of prosperity. Is that land of shalom, peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. It all belongs to us as we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, which we call the kingdom of God. So, how do we bring all this wealth and riches that belongs to us to manifest in our lives? And the process is almost identical to what we do for health and healing. And a big clue for that is 3 John 2. As your soul prospers, so does your health and your finances. Well, I think being here at ABC, our souls have been prospering a lot. I don't know about you, but I know compared to where I used to be, my soul is prospering abundantly. And my health is keeping match. And my finances are keeping match. I remember a few years ago, 10 years ago maybe, I was saying, Lord, you have blessed me with revelation knowledge. And you have blessed me with health. But somehow I don't feel quite as blessed in the area of finances. And he said to me, how did you acquire all this revelation knowledge? I said, I copied Papa Hagen. And he said the turning point in his ministry was when he spent 5 days locked in his church praying Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. So I said, If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. So I went up to the mountains for 6 days and fasted for 6 days and prayed Ephesians chapter 1. That's all I did. Didn't have to spend time eating, so I had more time to pray. 6 days. He said to me, "And how did you get all this health?" And I said, 5 days of affirming the Word of God. And that was the end of the conversation. So I figured, okay, I can put two and two together. So I went off and I took 6 days, locked in that room back there, 6 days. Didn't come to services. Other people did the services for 6 days. And I prayed financial scriptures. And my finances took an upward leap. But let me tell you, however you are blessed in finances today, or health, or revelation knowledge, it's nothing to what God wants to do in you and me over the next few years. We are about to blast off. So tighten your seatbelts, set your mind on success, and get ready to blast off. A number of years ago, I started praying that there would be a Shekinah ladder from here up to heaven, up to the windows of heaven, a ladder of glory, and that the angels would ascend and descend that ladder of glory, just as they did for Jacob. And I did that for maybe 3 months, 6 months, I don't recall. And somebody came to me and said, "You know, as I was coming to church today, you know what I saw?" I never told this to anybody. Not even my wife knew I was doing this. Said, "You know what I saw when I was coming to church today?" I said, "What did you see?" Said, "I saw into the spiritual realm. And I saw this ladder going up to heaven. And I saw angels going up the ladder and coming down the ladder." Is that awesome? That is awesome. Why did that happen here? Since then, that's been seen several times. I personally have not seen it. I've seen the effects of it. Why did it happen? Because one is, I believe, a scripture some of you might have heard of. It's called Mark 11:24. Okay? Two is, I believe God is no respecter of persons. If he did it for Jacob, he'd do it for you, he'd do it for me. And three is, I did something about it. I asked, I believe I received, and I affirmed it till it came to pass. We need to expand our minds to understand you are an adult in the family of the living God, and nothing is impossible to you. Nothing. That, by the way, is a very good definition of prosperity. Nothing is impossible for you. So, living in the land of prosperity, we are already in the land of prosperity. We stay in the land of prosperity and we live. And our purpose of being in this land of prosperity is to be conformed to His will, to be conformed to His image, to the image of Christ, to become more and more Christ-like. Romans 8:29 is a good place to see that. And we do that by continuing to seek the first, the kingdom of God, and never ceasing to seek it. Heard a quotation recently from John Wooden. And the person said, quoting John Wooden, "When you quit trying to be better, you are done." When you quit trying to be better, you're done. Well, we have just for the beginning, 1,000 years ahead to get better. Don't quit on God now. Don't quit on God now. No matter how good things are, no matter how bad things are, don't quit on God now. We're just getting rolling. We draw near to Him and He draws closer to us. James 4:8. If you continue in the Word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. All drawing closer to Him. We grow in love. How? By a faith, action, and decision. By making a decision that we're going to keep His commandments. The more we keep His commandments is the more we grow in love. For Jesus says, I know you love me when you keep my commandments. You want to show God you love Him? Keep His commandments. And one of them is, be a hearer and a doer of the word. So living in the kingdom of God, we keep getting more Christ-like. But as we do that, we have two sources of authority, two measurements of authority, two spheres of authority and power. We have spiritual powers because we are priests, and we have financial powers because we are kings. We're not going to be priests and kings. We have been made priests and kings. The King of Kings is coming back. He's the king, big king, we are the little kings. He's the king of us. He's the King of Kings. He's not coming back because of the, with all due respect to the king of, who's got a king nowadays? Whatever. Who? Thailand, okay? Or the Queen of England, or King President, is coming back because we are the kings. You have the spiritual power because you're a priest. Colossians 2:15 says, Satan has been defeated. All the principalities, powers, and might of darkness have been defeated. That means you have power over them. You're free of sin, and you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you, so you can walk in all the signs of a believer. How do you know a believer? They're casting out demons. These signs shall follow a believer. First sign, they shall cast out demons. Why? Because they have the spiritual power over the demons. Why have the power if you're not going to use it? You can have whatever you say. Whatever you say, you can have. Think about that. Whatever you say, you can have. That gives you everything. That's why nothing is impossible for you. You can have whatever you say, which means nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. Financial power. You have the financial power of the world because you're a king. We are now kings. One day we shall reign over the entire earth. Today we reign over ourselves and as much of the earth as we want to extend our sphere of influence. We prayed in El Nino. Because of El Nino, there are 4 million people in Africa who are facing the prospect of famine and starvation. Maybe that's a wonderful way for them to find Jesus. I would say we've affected the earth. Did we mean to do that? No. But I tell you, a lot of the prayers of the believers to accomplish the works of God are going to create a lot of issues like that on the earth. And if you want to see them, look at the book of Revelation. Those things are not happening by themselves. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 says, God has given you the power to get wealth. And an identical translation of the same words is, God has given you the wealth to get power. So first, let us get this wealth, and later on, we learn how to use it as power. Proverbs 13:22. The wealth of the sinner has been laid up for you. The wealth of the sinner has been laid up for you. Psalm 35, verse 27. God delights in the prosperity of his servant. God delights in the prosperity of his servant. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says, Jesus, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. See, you're rich, but we need that manifestation. Will that manifestation come? It depends on what you do. You might be made rich. We want the wealth. The process of wealth coming to you doesn't have to be a long drawn out process. Scripture says, you know, people will build houses and you live in them. People plant vineyards and you'll reap. Scripture says that the reaper will overtake the sower. That even before it's sown, you'll be reaping. And we have examples of all those here at ABC. And here is perhaps the most important. You have the authority to command wealth to come to you. If you're not every day telling money to come to you, I don't know why you wouldn't do that. But if you've been doing that for a while, let's bump it up to not just money, but to wealth. And then when you feel wealth just come, let's bump it to great wealth. So, we're living in the land of prosperity, becoming more conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we exercise the spiritual power and the financial power. Those are the three keys for living in the land of prosperity. Becoming more Christ-like and using the spiritual power and the financial power the way God wants you to use it. Not, he doesn't want you to have all this wealth to go buy a Rolls Royce. Not that there's anything wrong with a Rolls Royce. When my own personal thought is, if your giving is comparable to Rolls Royces, hey, by all means, go for it. I personally have no need for that kind of stuff. Living to give. So you're in the kingdom, and here's how we enter it. Here's how we enter into this land of prosperity. We know what the goals are. Becoming more Christ-like, using the financial power, using the spiritual power to do what Jesus would do. But we're entering in by giving our body, giving ourselves. And in particular, since we're looking at money, and money is in the natural, we were talking about giving your body. So we're pretty good at giving inner things. But we're dealing now in the physical realm of money. So let's give something in the physical realm, which is your body. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we start off by presenting our bodies. Presenting our bodies is a necessary step and condition before the fullness of that transformation can hit us and we move more and more into the metamorphosis of coming from where we were into the glorious temple of God. The metamorphosis of going from a caterpillar into a butterfly. That metamorphosis. The foundation for that metamorphosis to complete its course is giving your body as a living sacrifice. So we live to give. First thing we got to give is our body. You know, we all know this. We are his body. We are his hands extended. We are, the reason why we are here is because, on the earth, is because we have a body. To operate on earth legally, you need a body. That's why Satan is a thief. He's operating illegally, and he tries to steal bodies here and there, and demons always cramming themselves in these places. Places being the nook and crannies of our bodies. I mean, how unpleasant that must be. So, the first thing we give is our body. That's the house that surrounds the temple of God. You give your body as a living sacrifice. And how do we give our body as living sacrifice? Through obedience. For obedience is better than sacrifice. We give our bodies by being obedient to God. And everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. Work as unto the Lord. And look for him to pay you. Don't look for man to pay you. Don't look for a company to pay you. Companies go bankrupt. Companies fire people. Companies go to business. Everything you do, 24 hours a day, do it as unto the Lord. And expect that God will pay you. And when you work, work so you have money and resources to give. You're working to give. You're working to give to the needy, and you're working to give to the gospel. You're not working to meet your basic needs. No. God promises, I will take care of all your basic need and your protection. You have any idea how much money on medical insurance and bills I've saved in the last 40 years? That would be an interesting number, would it not be? That would be a large number. I don't know what medical insurance costs nowadays, but I assume, is that as much as $1,000 a month? I see hands going like this. Okay, it's more than $1,000 a month. Okay. Well, there's a lot of months in 42 years. So God will provide all your basic needs. Second thing after you give your body is that you have to give what you own. Everything you own belongs to God. But God doesn't give it all to me. What he says is give me 10% of it. We'll talk more about that in the future. It's crucial to understand why he does that. So he says the tithe is holy and belongs to God. Leviticus 27:30 says the tithe is holy. Verse 32 says the tithe is 10%. Malachi 3, verse 8 through 10. God says, you're cursed with a curse. And it said, God says, you're robbing me. He says, why are we robbing you? Because you're cursed with a curse because you're not bringing the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse. But when you do it, he doesn't take care of you as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides you. No, he takes care of you as Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the host of heaven. The Lord of the armies of heaven. The commander-in-chief of the biggest, best, most powerful army in the entire three worlds are there to protect you and protect your family and everything that pertains to you. And let me tell you, to be here when Jesus returns, you and your family, me and my family, our sphere of influence, will need a lot of supernatural protection. And it comes by walking in a lot of supernatural power. And I've said this before, once a few years ago. And I phrased it this way. I said, I don't see how anybody could make it to the rapture if they're not tithers. Let me put it to you this way. Nobody can make it to the rapture if they're not tithers. If you don't believe me right now, hang around for the next few weeks. Hang around for the next few weeks and listen to the teaching of the next few weeks. You know how important the tithe was, or not tithing, or violating the tithe, was when they took Jericho, which was the first fruit tithe. God says, everything belongs to me. The silver, the gold, everything belongs to me. But everything that's living, kill it. And they killed everything that was living. Man, woman, child, and animals. To get rid of the demons. They had no place to go. They had to scatter and go find someplace else. They couldn't risk the demons and the animals and the people contaminating their animals and their people. But one man went in and kept some of the silver and gold. And they got destroyed next time, got beaten up really badly, the army in the next very next battle, by a town called Ai, which means garbage dump. There's a town that beat them. And a lot of people were killed. Doesn't say that anybody got killed at Jericho. And they found the man who had taken out and violated the tithe and put to death him, his family, and all his animals. The tithe, you can tell the tithe is, tithing is serious, because the devil has been telling people for years all the reasons why they shouldn't tithe. Anytime the devil is telling you it's bad, you know it's good. He's been saying, oh, don't speak the word of God. Name it, claim it, bag it, grab it. People are just crazy. Yeah, we're peculiar. We're peculiar. We're the people of God. Give offerings. Why give offerings? Because we're here to give offerings to God. I mean, that's why we're here. We're an offering to God. We're made for His pleasure. First offering we should give God should be love. We love God, we don't love money. Because 1 Timothy 6:10 says the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, if the love of something is the root of all evil, that something must be very powerful. And that's because money is the foundation and the power of mammon. If you love money, it means you love mammon. If you love mammon, you're not serving God. If it's hard for you to tithe, if it's hard for you to give offerings, you got to examine whether you love mammon more than you love God. We praise God by giving money as offerings. Jeremiah 17:26, 2 Chronicles 31:2 gives you examples of taking offerings to God as a praise. We take offerings to God as a praise. Give your money and worship God in the beauty of holiness. 1 Chronicles 16:29. Now, isn't that wonderful? It says, bring your offering and worship God in the beauty of holiness. That's what we want. We want the beauty of holiness. We want to walk in holiness. Let that beauty of holiness. There is an ugliness to sin. Isn't that so? Not just morally and spiritually, but sin changes people's features. We cast demons out of people, and you can see their faces change right in front of your eyes. Haven't we seen that thousands of times? Even in ourselves. True? And just as there's an ugliness to sin, there's a beauty to holiness. That's why I'm so cute. Let me rephrase it. To the extent I'm not so cute, that's the extent to which you know pastor is still saying. Amen? Amen. So we live to give. We live to give. We live to give our bodies, our tithes, our offerings. And in Psalm 102 verse 20, See here, as we're praising and worshiping God, it says in Psalm 102, verse 20, that a people would arise, a people would arise that would praise and worship God, and God would set them free from the appointment with death. How cool is that? Does that make you want to give more and more? It should. It makes me want to give more and more. And then giving to live. Giving to live. The kingdom of God is like a seed. We all should know Mark chapter 4, the entire chapter, very well. You should read it over and over. It says a lot of wonderful things. It says the kingdom of God is like a seed. It tells you the word is like a seed. It says if you don't know this parable about the sower sowing the seed, you can't understand any parable. So the kingdom of God is like a seed. What do you do with the seed? You plant it. You plant the seed of what you want. If you want corn, don't plant tomatoes. When you want money, you plant money. You plant money. Whatever you want, you plant it. You want to be loved? Give love. You want to walk in offense? Give offense. Right? Now, what did God tell Adam to do when he gave him the garden, the land of Eden? He says, dress it and keep it. That's Genesis 2:15. You have two jobs. Dress it and keep it. Dress it means take care of it, tend it, nurse it. We do that by watering the seed. We water the seed that we've planted with the water of the word. Father, in Jesus' name, you know, you sow for, say, a new car. And that's some of the things I want to say, but obviously I can't. So, let's say you sow for a job. Then you affirm it. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I have this new job. My seed has grown up, and I have this job. And you water it with affirmations. That's what affirmations do. They water the seed. Now, you tend it. The next thing is you got to protect it. You got to guard it and protect it. Here is where most strong believers fall down. They don't guard their seed. Adam didn't. He let the devil come in and take the garden. Take everything. You guard your seed with your actions. And the actions are faith without works is dead. Your faith is you planted it and you're watering it. No, where are the works? You've got to execute your faith action plan. You've got to start walking, living as if you have already received. That's how you protect it, by living it. You live it. You got it. You want a new job? Make every preparation you can for that new job. Get your clothes ready. Get up as if you're going to work. All the things you would do as if you had the job. And in the meantime, do whatever God wants you to do. And whatever you're doing, whether you have a job or no job, do it as unto the Lord and expect Him to pay you. So that is entering the land of prosperity. We are entering because we're understanding the three reasons why we have it, which is to be conformed to the image of His Son, to use and exercise the financial power and the spiritual power. Those are the purposes. And we do it by giving. We give ourselves, we give our body, we give tithes, we give offerings. That's all giving to God. But when we want something for ourselves, when we need something for our own lives, we also give to live. We give to obtain that which we want. Whatever we want, you give it. Somebody once called up and said, could you use a TV? Well, we had just gotten highly involved in the stock market, and I needed a TV to monitor it of a certain size. And a person says, yeah, what size is it? Yeah, perfect. That's exactly what I want. Person said, I'll bring it over. But I said, what are you sowing this seed for? And I think the person said, I really had not yet named the seed. I said, well, you want to do that because you don't want 100 TV coming back to you, do you? Right? So the person said, okay, I'm sowing it for a new computer. And they brought the TV over 2 or 3 days later, took me to the trunk of the car, opened it up, says, there's your TV, and here's my new computer right beside it. That's the reaper overtaking the sower. They got the TV before they had even delivered the seed. They got the computer before they even delivered the seed. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Let's give God a round of applause. Thank you, Lord. A clap offering, okay? It's a clap offering for God. Not for me, because believe me, I love this teaching. Believe me, what it cost me to put together this teaching, in the long run, what it cost me is just kicking back and praying. I said, God, I don't know where this is going. I can't do it. And boy, did I learn a lot out of this. I hope you'd learn something too. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.